Sentinel Online. Now loading all things Transformers.
Oh, and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into the Transformers fandom is TFG1 Mike.
We got 55 episodes to go, folks, to 500.
The countdown to 500.
That's right. It's going to be a Velocitron 500.
No.
Oh, come on.
We don't do the Velocitrons here.
Oh, come on.
No, you're no. We'll duke it out in the comment section.
If you can find the comment section.
I know where it's at.
Yeah, sure you do.
No, I do.
I've
been messing with the comment section.
Yep.
So.
Yep. But we are here.
As we enter this new episode of All Things Transformers, we're going to be discussing the Transformers video games and our favorites among them.
Yes.
What were some of the things, some of the themes you kind of noticed throughout the different game options? I noticed that there were a lot of repetition when it came to the Bayverse.
Yeah. I mean, most of the live action film games are, they're trying to do a game version of the film. It's a game adaptation of the film kind of sort of thing. That's what the adaptations have always been for. Like, you see, the original Spider-Man game from 2002, they tried to adapt from the 2002 movie, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The Batman 89 NES game kind of thing. Or not NES. Not 89. But you get my point. Like, where the Transformers video games to me come into being interesting is, like, things that I didn't even know existed. Like, Mystery of Convoy. Honestly, Transformers video games and me didn't really start up until, honestly, probably, now that I'm looking down this list, where it really started was in, this is so sad, because I hate this generation of Transformers, because it's not my generation, and that is what it is. First Transformers video game I ever played, 2004 PS2 Transformers Armada.
Yeah.
I hated that fucking game. I was like,
really?
This isn't Optimus Prime. This isn't, like, because it had been so long since I had done anything with the Transformers. And I'm like, this is just weird to me. I mean, the game itself is okay, but, like, it wasn't Generation 1. It wasn't Beast Wars. It wasn't Beast Machines. Obviously, we didn't even know what the hell animated was, because this was 4 years before animated. But, like, when I found that game, I was like, what the hell is this? Like, literally, 2004 was at a time where I thought Transformers, it was nothing. Like, it was gone.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, just kind of a brief rundown of Transformers games.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of iterations over the years.
Yep.
Some in better capacity than others.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of them are G1 inspired.
Yep.
Thankfully. But they started around the Commodore 64 and the Nintendo Famicom.
Yep.
And then it skipped a while and we got Beast Wars in the 90s, and then it skipped again, and then we started getting things with, like, the PS2, or,
yep,
you know, more or less. Then all of the Activision stuff with the live-action films, and animated and Transformers Armada and War for Cybertron, and the list goes on and on. Although the newer stuff seems to have a worse track record of getting released than anything in the past.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, we've had more cancellations of Transformers stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
In recent times, but I think it's also because, like, one, they're trying to shoehorn these into being online only.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they would do better if they were single player.
Yeah, that's the thing. They have to be, yeah.
Like, because Beast Wars was the first online Transformers game.
Mm-hmm.
It had a multiplayer. You could play a four-person deathmatch online on the Microsoft Gaming Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when I wasn't playing that, I was playing chess against people online and, like, kicking their butt. But no, I mean, that was the first rendition. And then the next one that I could recall was one of the War for Cybertron games. They had, like, a kind of a free for all deathmatch thing online, too. And then they've had a few other ones since then. I mean, outside of the mobile games.
Yeah.
So since we're getting into it, what are your favorite personal games on here? And then we can kind of rotate back and forth. And I mean, obviously, my list is much larger.
Yeah, Steve has played way more of these games than I have, folks, because as gaming has progressed over the last, I'm just going to say 40 years, because 85 to 25, or if you take last year, 84 to 24. When I was 5 years old in 1985 and I wanted a Nintendo, I didn't get a Nintendo. I ended up with a Sega Genesis. And because of this cerebral palsy, I play video games one-handed on console. Same thing with PC. So I'm going back, like when I play Grand Theft Auto 4 or whatever, I go back and forth between the mouse and the keyboard. That's the way I've always done it because I can't use my right hand to do anything else with stuff. So I needed a controller that could fit in my hand because the way I hold the controller is I cradle it in the palm of my hand. I use my thumb for, like, take the NES controller, the AB buttons. I use my thumb for those. Or if you take the Super Nintendo controller, A, B, X, Y, same thing. I use my index and middle finger for the D-pad. So I'm basically cradling this thing in my hand and using my fingers that way. So as video games has progressed over the last 40 years, and the controllers have gotten to be like these rocks of Gibraltar size things, I can't use them anymore on consoles. So I've pretty much, like, gotten out of the console gaming thing, regardless of price or any of that kind of stuff as far as the cost of an actual game console today. It's just the controllers for me are just too dang, I just can't do it. But back then, when it was more simple, I didn't even know there were Transformers. I wasn't even looking at Transformers games. I was more into the Turtles games, the TMNT games back in the mid-80s. And stuff like that. I didn't even know there were Transformers games. Like, when Beast Wars came out, I no idea. Had absolutely no idea what in the hell it was. I've told this story before, and I know you know this because I know I've told this to you because you looked at me shocked when I said this. I thought Reboot was the new Transformers, and I thought Beast Wars was something totally, completely different. I didn't know what in the hell was going on in 1996 when I was 16 years old, because I didn't know what the hell those cartoons were until we had
War Planets and Reboot, yeah, and Beast Wars, yeah, and Action, well, Man, G.I. Joe, yeah, Extreme.
Yeah, I finally figured it out. But for me, the Transformers games, I like the ones that I have played, and I've only played a few of them. I only have three on my list. You have like 10 or 12, maybe. My list is basically I played a little bit of War for Cybertron. I didn't play it too much. I think I played like the first part of the campaign on War for Cybertron. I like the game. For me, it's more about like watch, like video games to me now, for me, are, it's kind of like watching a TV show. Like I'll watch a playthrough of somebody playing a video game these days, more so than me actually needing the experience of playing the game myself, kind of a thing. And sometimes I'll watch playthroughs where people actually do commentary on it, and sometimes I'll watch no commentaries. But the one thing I was absolutely like, I can't believe they did this. I really can't. And I know a lot of people don't like Angry Birds. I'm fairly certain Steve is one of those people that just doesn't care.
It's, I mean, I don't hate it.
Right, but
I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. But like, yeah, so I remember when the news stories popped up about this, you just rolled your eyes. And I'm like, no, dude, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be exciting, because not only is this going to be cool, you have the Angry Birds characters and the Transformers characters mixed together. You got Vince DiCola and Kenny Meredith doing the soundtrack to Transformers Angry Birds. That's amazing. They very much G1'd it up. It was very cool. It was very fun. It was silly as all hell. And it was just, it was one of those things where you could, I like to shut my brain off because my brain is damaged. And sometimes I would rather shut it off than have to use it, because I use it too much anyway. So Angry Birds Transformers was one of those games where it showed me the objective that I had to achieve. And I'm like, okay, fine. However you had to do it on your mobile phone, whatever it was, just do the thing. And Bob's your uncle. There you go. The level's complete. You win, kind of a thing. So yeah. And then, like I said, my last game on my list that I've actually played was Transformers Armada, and Armada just isn't my, it's not my generation. I just couldn't get into that game. What about you? What's on your list, sir?
Well, my list is much larger, obviously. Yes,
obviously.
So mine kind of begins in a weird place the first game I ever played was Beast Wars. I still have the disc. I have the ISO file. I can play it on the computer if I wanted to. I don't want to. And then we have, you know, the fact that I played it on MSN Gaming Zone, hopped up on, you know, 2 liters of Coke at, you know, very little sleep. And yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was the first Transformers game I ever played. One, it was Beast Wars. Two, I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing, I mean, the main thing I didn't like is the graphics kind of sucked.
Yeah.
The voice acting was not there.
Right.
We had a lot of weird stuff in the game that, I mean, I just come fresh off of watching Beast Wars. There was a lot of crap not in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you had the microchip thing. You had, the only way you could get the flyers was, if you managed to lose a character, basically die in the level, then you get to have like Air Razor or Inferno,
yeah,
to revive the characters, or Waspinator or Pterosaur. I don't know, but I pretty much played with Primal or mm-hmm. Cheetor, or Megatron. You could play as like Tarantulas, Scorponok, Megatron, Rhinox, Cheetor, and Primal, And then they had these really weird levels. There was another level that you would open a stasis pod and Rat Trap would come out. Like, you got Rat Trap.
Yeah.
And then you could play from both Maximal and Predacon sides. They had rescue missions. They had these bosses, the Skrillex or Skrix, that had nothing to do with Beast Wars. And I don't know, like, I mean, you could get Black Arachnia, you could kill Dinobot, you could, there was just all kinds of stuff you could do. I never beat the game back in the day, still to this day, haven't beaten it. But it wasn't a very good game. It was just one that I enjoyed because it was Beast Wars.
Right, yeah.
But it was very like haphazard. Like, I've actually gone through it in the last year, tried to play it, and I beat through sections that I'd never gotten to when I was younger, just because I've played more games and I understand it better now. But yeah, I mean, it meant a lot to me because of what it was, but I played it on a keyboard and mouse. Like, I didn't have a gamepad.
Yeah.
And there's cheat codes for it. They didn't really work because I tried it.
Dang.
But yeah, I liked the website they had built for it, which was on like BeastWars.com or Beast Wars Transformers or whatever. They had the graphics on the website and on the case were far better than the graphics in the game. But yeah. Then I started playing emulators and ROMs and like games that weren't here. And I was downloading anything Transformers.
Yep.
And I came across the Famicom game, Transformers Mystery of Convoy.
Yes.
And you're basically Ultra Magnus fighting against the Decepticons and the Seekers and different bots. I mean, it kind of followed Headmasters, but you got hit, you died. It was that was kind of like the old way of doing stuff.
Right.
Re-released it on the Virtual Console in like 2008 in Japan, but not here.
Right.
I never got past the first level, or maybe the second. I think I got to the second level, and then I never made it past. It was very hard to play.
That sucks.
It was very hard to play, but I enjoyed it for what it was. Like, it was fun just because it was odd, but I think I put up with it because it was a Transformers game.
Right.
So again, I liked it, but wasn't one I enjoyed. It's just kind of one I played.
Yeah.
And then I'd get frustrated and then rage quit.
Yep.
Then there was Beast Wars Transmetals.
I remember seeing the trailer for that because I like the Transmetal 1 Beast Wars characters. Yeah, what was that like?
So this was one I hadn't played until probably 5 years ago. Because I didn't own a game console when this was out. I didn't own I've never owned a PlayStation or a Nintendo 64.
Okay.
I owned a PS2. I owned a Super Nintendo. I owned a GameCube. I owned a Wii. I owned a Sega Genesis, an Xbox 360, and an Xbox One. Outside of that, I've owned like Game Boy Pocket, Game Boy Advance, and then that's it. Like, I haven't owned any other game console. And so when this came out, I was like, there's got to be a way to emulate it. And I found a PlayStation emulator and it did work, but you had to have a special disk drive to read it.
Oh, no.
In the computer. And this was back before like people figured out how to rip them off the disk. Then I learned of a website that archives everything, so to speak. And I found the ISO file, downloaded it, and played it. Because, I mean, again, they're never going to re-release this, so I didn't really feel bad, per se. If they were to, you know, remaster it with better graphics, I would buy it in a heartbeat, but they won't. But this one actually more closely followed Beast Wars. Look at that.
Look at that.
They had the Axelon. They had, you know, the Predacons. They had the voice actors.
Nice.
And then you have, you know, the dark side. You have them flaunting the golden disc. You have, you know, just all of that. It felt very much like it was from season two.
Yeah.
Of Beast Wars. And all the actors kind of Tigatron and was not voiced by the original actor.
By Blue, yeah.
Yeah. Rhinox was actually played by Alec Willows.
Okay.
Tarantulas.
Yep.
And then Ian James Corlett played Quickstrike. And Black Arachne was voiced by somebody else. And then Ravage voiced by somebody else who also voiced Tigatron. And then they had Windrazor instead of Air Razor, which was like the Transmetal Air Razor, more or less.
Interesting.
So yeah, they had Quickstrike and they had Rampage and they had Tarantulas. They didn't have Inferno. Basically, if they weren't Transmetal.
Right. Yeah.
They weren't there. And Waspinator.
But Waspinator wasn't Transmetal.
He had a toy.
Oh, okay.
And that same thing with Rhinox. So anyways, yeah, they had, you know, secret levels. It was like very much, you know, shoot 'em up one-on-one 3D arena fighting game.
Yeah.
And you would just kind of battle them until they went into stasis lock. Megatron had a like Transmetal version of himself that also became like kind of a golden dragon purple dinosaur. Like literally, that's what he turned into.
The sad thing is all I can think of is, oh, I love you, shut up, I'm not done.
But yeah, I mean, I wish I'd had more time to play it.
Yeah.
Because I have, again, I've played it, but I have not to the level I would have liked. But the graphics make it difficult to control. Like, it's very choppy.
Okay.
Almost worse than the first Beast Wars game.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. It's not good. But yeah, that's why I say like I wanted to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But and other than that, it was enjoyable, but I wish they would have done more with it. I wish they'd honestly revisit Beast Wars, but in this capacity, but in today's age it'd probably get screwed up like Kingdom. But yeah. And then we get to Transformers Armada, which was dubbed Transformers just on the PS2. Like, it didn't have Armada on it. Just says Transformers, and it's got Armada Prime. Came out in 2004. I had a PS2 shortly thereafter. And, yeah, you get to play as three of the Autobots traveling around the Earth retrieving minicons. And they had the voice actors in it, and it was great. You get to play as Prime, Hotshot, and Red Alert, and each had their benefits. But the game was very difficult to play, like, but in a good way. Yeah. It was actually very intuitive, a lot of fun. Like, you could hang glide, you could, you know, transform and just barrel through stuff. You get to fight Starscream, Cyclonus, Tidal Wave. It just, there was all kinds of awesomeness to it. And then you get to fight Megatron, you know, towards the end. And he was actually pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
Megatron was hard. Starscream kind of was, because he was hard to hit. And then the very end of the game, you fight Unicron.
Of course.
But you're Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
With a jetpack flying to defeat Unicron. And you had to, while he's shooting Cybertron with his mouth cannon, you fly down his throat and shoot him in the mouth, like shoot him in the back of the throat, and then you fly out of his mouth. And you had to do
well,
it.
Well,
like
if that isn't suggestive, folks.
Yeah, whatever. But yeah, but yeah, they had Gary Chalk and they had David Kaye, and then everybody else was kind of, as far as I know, a different voice actor. But I don't know. I didn't pay that close of attention to Armada to know if they actually played the character in the other show, but I don't believe any of them did. Now, a few of them have played in other Transformers material later down the line, but yeah, it was a lot of fun to play. I enjoyed it graphically. I enjoyed it just being able to move, and the music was good. There was a lot of different Transformers themes by different groups. One of them was like Dropbox.
Nice.
I felt like to date, to that point in time, that was the best Transformers game. Not to be removed from it, like say what you will of Armada, but I enjoyed it for the Transformers game it was.
Cool.
And it would be years before we got another good one.
Yeah. It would be exactly 8 years before we got another good one.
Yeah.
No, not 8 years. 2004 was Armada, so it would be 6 years. The math is not mathing tonight.
It was 6 years.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. But then the next one I had on my list was the Transformers the Game and Revenge of the Fallen. And I'm just, again, I'm listing games that I played.
Yeah.
And then I'll get, like, as I'm mentioning them, I'll mention, you know, the fact that whether I had them as my, you know, enjoyed Armada, I enjoyed Beast Wars, I enjoyed the rest of them so far. Other than that, I have not. But I'll get into some more that I have later. But Transformers the Game, I didn't enjoy this game. It was difficult to maneuver and kind of control. Okay. And I hated, like, graphically, it was one, I hated the graphics of the Bayverse. I did. I never did get to the point where I never got past like the first or second level. I hated it. I mean, I liked the fact that you could like grab onto the buildings and climb up them. Mm-hmm. But the Decepticons, like I felt like I was just spinning my wheels and there was no direction while I was playing the game. And so to me, it was just miserable to play. Like, and I think I rented it. I didn't buy it. I rented it because at that time we Blockbuster was a thing still.
Yeah.
And Mary worked there for Blockbuster. And so I rented games and I would play them and I just play the crap out of them until we had to return them. Cause you got like 7 days or something. And, I played this and I absolutely hated it.
Yeah. I remember this game. I remember when it came out. I'm like, oh my gosh, I like the idea of having like a game where you can play both sides. I think that's super cool. You got Autobot levels and Decepticon levels.
Yeah.
That is very cool.
And they had, you know, Peter Cullen playing Prime, Mark Ryan playing Ironhide, Fred Tatasciore playing Ratchet, Welker played Megatron, Daniel Ross played Starscream, Keith David played Barricade, David Soboloff played Brawl, and then you had Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox as the humans. But yeah, it was kind of cool that they brought in Daniel Ross as Starscream and Walker's Megatron.
Yeah, that is cool.
Which was the draw for this. Like, I did like it for both of those. Because, like, this was, at the time, like, Daniel Ross, like, this was, like, huge. Because he was on Transfandom at the time. And I think, like, the Allspark and stuff. And, like, I knew him from that. But I also knew him from the fan dub community for a couple of years by that point. And in Dark Glass, he plays, like, Starscream. Or not Starscream. Waspinator and Rat Trap. Which I still have yet to release. Which shouldn't be that hard considering what I had to do earlier this year. As far as like audio dramas. But yeah, this is like his big breakout Transformers role. And then we got like the Revenge of the Fallen thereafter, which came out for PS3 and Xbox 360, which I played it on the Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. Cause I had that around that time, but I don't remember enough about this game to make any kind of commentary. Did have Peter Cullen back. They had Frank Welker back. They brought Charlie Adler in as Starscream this time. They had Neil Kaplan as Long Haul, Fred Tatasciore's Grinder, John DiMaggio Sideways. Then they had G1 Megatron, G1 Starscream, and G1 Sunstorm, like skins that you could unlock.
Right.
And so they had Welker playing Megatron, of course, and Charlie Adler playing Starscream and Sunstorm. James Arnold Taylor played the Fallen, Fred Tatasciore's Demolisher. Then you had Peter Cullen as G1 and Movie Prime. Mark Ryan as Bumblebee, Jess Harnell, Ironhide. You know, and then kind of the list goes on and on there. But I don't remember much about this game. I remember that the big draw was that you could get the skins.
Yeah, I think that's what this one was. It was like skins for everybody, because the way that this game's story evolves is it evolves over 15 chapters versus the first movie game, where it's like the first half of the game is the Autobots missions. The second half of the game is the Decepticon side of the fight. Whereas this is just like, first mission is Optimus's mission. Second mission is Ironhide versus Demolisher. Third mission is the pursuit over Shanghai. Sideways goes to ground on chapter 4. You know, you have all the, it's more of a, here's a storytelling video game where it's like a chapter book kind of thing. Whereas the first game was more of, at least the way I see how they laid out the story of, here's the Autobot side of the fight. Here's the Decepticon side of the fight, like I said earlier. And this is not that. This is more like, here's an entire story wrapped up into one for you with this Revenge of the Fallen game.
Yeah.
I never played that one. I've seen people play it. It looks cool.
I mean, I remember playing it. I didn't get into it.
Yeah.
Like, didn't really enjoy it. I mean, this was, came out in 2009. And I remember playing this as well, but again, didn't really enjoy it. Now, the next two games, actually the next three that I talk about, I did highly enjoy. And these were, I had them on the Xbox 360, all three of them. I have them all on PC now. And I've beat them all again. This is the War for Cybertron by High Moon Studios. And only two of these are High Moon. But this is set in the aligned continuity, whatever that means for the, you know, timeline. Because they didn't know. They still don't know. but yeah, I remember playing this and for the first time, and yeah, you were getting all of their Cybertronian bodies, but this was one of the coolest games ever.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the TF Wiki under the image of Optimus Prime, it says Prime auditions for Unreal Tournament. There were no survivors.
Nope, that's right.
And that's how I felt. Like I really did like this game, and it was done by Activision.
Yeah.
but it was slick. Like, it was really well done. The story was awesome. The voice acting was great. The graphically and then like aesthetically how it played was really fun. You know, it was the tail end of the Great War on Cybertron type of thing.
Yep.
You know, before the Transformers come to Earth and, you know, Megatron is battling and trying to use the power source of the Dark Energon. And you get a little bit of back and forth. Like the first chapter, you get Brawl, Barricade, or Megatron as options. And then you get to play as Starscream, Thundercracker, Skywarp for the second mission. And then you destroy Iacon as either Megatron, Soundwave, or Breakdown. And your last boss is Zeta Prime there for that part. And then you kind of finish out these last two chapters as the Decepticons of, you know, Megatron, Soundwave, Breakdown for the next two. And you fight Omega Supreme. And then again, Omega Supreme, like one's vehicle mode, one's robot. And then it switches to the Autobot campaign. And you start out as Optimus, Bumblebee, or Ratchet. And then it goes to Optimus, Sideswiper, Bumblebee. And you fight like Starscream, Soundwave. And then you fight some kind of corrupted worm as Prime, Ironhide, or Warpath. And again, these were all fun. Like, it didn't matter who you chose. I mean, I typically chose Prime if he was an option.
Yeah.
Or Megatron if he was an option. But if they weren't, I went for, you know, my next favorite character of whatever it was. And then you get to fight Trypticon as Silverbolt, Air Raid, or Jetfire. And in that, I kind of rotated because in the fan dubs, I played Air Raid in the fan dub. And then Jetfire is just fun in general. And so Silverbolt. So I kind of rotate between the three when I play that mission. And then you get the final mission of the game there. And it's Prime, Bumblebee, or Ironhide against Trypticon. And and then it finishes out this game and then kind of continues in Fall of Cybertron. And the casting for these were all great. I mean, you had Fred Tatasciore's Ratchet and Megatron. You had Steve Bloom as Barricade. You had Prime as Peter Cullen. Fred Tatasciore played a lot of characters. Like, he also played Omega Supreme and Trypticon. Steve Bloom was a narrator. Felt like watching Toonami.
Yep.
Which was great. I mean, you had a lot of great characters or a lot of actors that were great in this, and then downloadable content characters, and it was just fun overall. This is one of my favorites. However, I almost prefer the sequel better.
Fall of Cybertron.
Yes. it's like they took what was in the first game and they ramped it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a direct sequel, obviously, and it came out 2 years later, and I bought this one new. it continued. You had the deterioration, then you get the side story focusing on the Dinobots. You begin the story with Prime defeating conceding defeat to the Decepticons, and then, you know, Grimlock is captured, and this one, it was a little bit more difficult because they forced you to use a select character.
Yeah.
You didn't get a choice. Like, the first mission was Bumblebee.
Yep.
And you're kind of starting the end of the game at the beginning. With Bumblebee. And then you go on to the next part, which is, you know, defending the Ark, and you have Prime, and you're, you know, unlocking Metroplex and activating him, which is awesome because you see this little itty bitty Optimus Prime, like the size of an ant, and then Metroplex is like, yep. And then later you get Cliffjumper, who's helping Jazz, and then the next level you get Jazz, and then you get Vortex, which for the Decepticons, I hated playing as any of the individual parts of the Combaticons. I hated playing those. which is funny that I'm like, I like this game better. Because they had a lot of stuff where you had to be methodical in how you played the characters of like Cliff Jumper, Jazz, Vortex, Swindle. I enjoyed Bruticus because you get to destroy stuff on the arc.
Right.
And then you play Soundwave, at least until he revives the smashed Megatron from the previous game. And they're just randomly rebuilding them or rebuilding him in his shop. Like he has a body already there. And, you know, there's just a tin can head laying around somewhere and they plug it in. And then they get a cannon and, you know, infuse it with dark energon and Megatron's back and more powerful. And then you do another confrontation as Megatron fighting through all different kinds of forces. Starscream, of course, betrays and you play as a Decepticon trooper and then Starscream, who kills the Decepticon trooper as he's invisible.
Right.
And then you inadvertently tease Grimlock and become Grimlock for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you play as like Grimlock and Swoop, and honestly it was cool trying to play his character and, you know, transform. And Grimlock could only transform though if you filled up his like anger meter.
Yep.
Which was interesting, but I loved the character, like playing him. And then you get to play, they did a sequential like storyline progression where you start out as Soundwave infiltrating the Ark, then you're Jetfire trying to blow away the connection between the Nemesis and the Ark, which the Nemesis is a transformed Trypticon for nice. Failing Megatron. He is like the lifeless shell.
Right.
And then you play as Bruticus destroying part of the Ark, and then Jazz taking down Bruticus, and then Optimus fighting Megatron, and then kind of back and forth until, you know, finally the ship crashes and they fall through the portal and game over. And I was dying. I was like, no, not another, you know, 2 years. And then they're like, yeah, we're not making any more.
Yeah, that was the bad thing about High Moon, is they kind of went under. It was like, damn, no more.
They didn't really go under. It was kind of like a Hasbro decision to be like, yeah, we're done.
Okay. High Moon themselves did not go under, but the Transformers games from High Moon, basically, like you just said, Hasbro kind of stopped the whatever. Stupid Hasbro.
So what's funny is the PC version.
Mm-hmm.
Was kind of a redeveloped, like they were a development company founded in 2010 by video game industry veterans. So they, you know, this company helped develop Guitar Hero, Van okay. Halen, like Madagascar, Escape to Africa, like Tiger Woods, the Godfather game. They ported Fall of Cybertron to the PC and improved upon it by featuring higher quality graphics, higher resolution textures. It can run at 1080p and 60 frames per second. But some of the graphical settings were lacking and the controls couldn't be reset because it's a port. But I play with a gamepad when I play it. I don't know. The game was this was by far one of my favorite games. And totally. then we got almost like it was like 3 years later, Transformers Devastation.
Yes, Devastation,
which was good. Straight up G1.
Yep.
It's funny because they say it's billed as a tie-in to Combiner Wars, but I don't see it.
It can't be. It just can't be.
I think that was their way of trying to legitimize selling this.
Think maybe.
Because there's no way. Like, there's no way. But you did get Vince DiCola music in this, so.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Vince DiCola, Kenny Meredith. Absolutely awesome.
Yeah. So this one was fun. Again, this is another Activision. Activision kind of did all these games from the movie onward. Well, actually from Armada onward. But you get to play as different Autobots and Decepticons throughout this game. Or at least, no, I think it's just Autobots. I can't remember. I have beat the game once, but it was when I was on console. But on the PC, like I'm like, I don't remember how to play this. I play it out of enjoyment and then I totally bomb and forget where I'm supposed to go. Yeah, I enjoyed it because you got the cel shaded kind of coolness. You got the G1 aesthetic.
Yep.
You got to upgrade your characters, which was cool.
Yep.
Got Greg Berger back as Grimlock.
Greg Berger's back. Michael Bell is back. Dan Gilvezan, Peter Cullen, Frank Welker. That's pretty much everybody. Yeah, that's pretty much everybody that's back. Steve Blum is in it. Hello.
Yep. Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's kind of it there.
Yep.
They added some other characters into it, but they didn't really talk per se.
Yeah.
Then they had like Nova Prime awaken in the game, but I don't think that went anywhere. It's one of those kind of weird situations because we had Teletran 1 and then Teletran Alpha as well. But yeah, I don't know. It was fun for what it was and while it lasted. But yeah, I liked a lot of aspects of it. It was very fast paced and fun to do, the actions and destroy stuff and kind of upgrade weapons. Like I would upgrade pretty much everything by massacring things and giving fusion cannon power to whomever. Like Grimlock had this nice energy sword. And Prime had the energy axe that I upgraded massively. And his ion blaster I upgraded massively.
Nice.
But, yeah, I mean, what's sad about this and Activision's expiration of their licensing agreement with Hasbro?
Mm-hmm.
After this game in 2017, at the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
this. Again, this was the final Transformers game by Activision. All of the Transformers games were delisted from digital platforms.
Yeah.
Which means that Captain Jack Sparrow has to come to play.
Yep.
So yeah, that takes me through the Activision stuff. There's some other games that, you know, we're getting into like mobile territory or handheld territory. One of the games that I haven't played that came out tail end of last year that I'd like to check out is Transformers Galactic Trials.
Yeah, that's the new one.
Yeah. And what's funny is John Bailey plays Megatron and Soundwave. Nice. And Shockwave. I mean, it's a mobile game, so I mean, go figure. But I still think that's cool because, again, like I knew him from fan dubbing days back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does all kinds of work. But he's kind of the de facto Optimus Prime for Hasbro when Peter Cullen's unavailable due to scheduling or budget reasons.
Yep.
But no, I mean. He pretty much plays Shockwave or Optimus Prime or Soundwave a good 50% of the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, John's awesome.
And he mostly is in the mostly in the video game stuff, but he's done like Combiner Wars and something in animated and well, at least at BotCon. but yeah, he's played in various games, but yeah, I'd like to check this game out just to see what it's like. I know it's kind of a all-star racing, and it almost looks like it takes place in the Earth Spark kind of aesthetic, or maybe not Earth Spark, but the what's the previous show? Not Rid. Cyberverse.
Cyberverse, yeah.
It almost kind of looks like that to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean that looks like it could be fun.
Here's the I'm on the Galactic Trials page on TF Wiki. Here's the synopsis of the game for those that don't know. Nemesis Prime steals the artifacts of the Primes, hoping to claim the power for his own as he prepares to exit Cybertron's orbit. However, his ship is shot down by the planet's defenses and its contents spilled out into space, scattering the artifacts across the cosmos. While Nemesis retreats to recover his strength, the Autobots and Decepticons begin competing to reclaim the relics for themselves before the other faction, with their campaign coming to be known on Cybertron as the Galactic Trials. Playable characters include Autobots and Decepticons, Optimus Prime, voiced by Bill Rogers, whoever that person is, Bumblebee John Zeges? No clue. Wheeljack, Jordan Reynolds, Alita One, Leah Knauer. RC is done by Don M. Bennett. Don M. Bennett. I said that right. Like you mentioned, John Bailey is doing Megatron, Soundwave, and Laserbeak. Because Laserbeak is under Soundwave, Shockwave. Flame War is done by Don M. Bennett. Nightbird is done by Leonari. Nemesis Prime, done by Jordan Reynolds. And the non-playable character is the narrator, who is Bill Millsap. I think I saw the trailer for this, and I was like, huh, interesting. It looked cool. Who knows?
Yeah, this is going to be one of those ones I check out in my leisure mm-hmm. in the future. Yep. I know they sell it on Steam, which would be how I'd have to get it nowadays. I mean, it's on the Switch, PlayStation 4 and 5, Xbox One, the Xbox Series XS, or X/S, and then the PC. So I'm interested to check it out. So I'll probably watch some videos on it before I pull the trigger or wait for it to go on sale, and then I'll pull the trigger because I never buy anything when it's brand new.
Yeah, you never want to buy brand new, folks. Oh no.
No. Then you get the DLC for free. But so anyways, the other thing that I've got is from the Game Boy Color. And this was released only in Japan. 1999. This was one of the emulator ones I played.
Okay.
It's a stupid long title, but they're like chibi Transformers.
Yep.
Dual Fight Transformers, Beast Wars, Beast Warrior, Strongest Decisive Battle. I just call it Beast Wars, Beast Warriors, or just Beast Warriors. Basically, you get combatants from Beast Wars, Beast Wars 2, and Beast Wars Neo. Majority of them are the leaders. Like you get, just forgetting the plot completely because this is all over the place. But the plot is technically the planet Gaia, Leo Convoy's Maximals, and Galvatron's Predacons detect an abnormal form of Angolmos energy. Investigating the source, they find themselves in a mysterious ruin in another dimension. As do the time-displaced Optimus Primal and Cheetor, who arrive while pursuing Megatron. Galvatron discovers a strange Energon quartz in the ruin and attempts to abscond with it and finds it protected by a barrier. An ethereal voice proclaims the courts can only be claimed by one who proves themselves the strongest, promising great power to whoever possesses it. With the challenge issued, the Maximals and Predacons prepare for battle, each one seeking to claim the courts for their own. And in this, you get, it says after Megatron, who is always the final enemy, even if you're playing as him, is defeated in the chamber of the courts. The beast warrior who has proven themselves the strongest obtains the courts and is given the choice of what to do with its power. Leo Convoy, you know, is the Maximal one from Beast Wars 2. He seals it away forever. Galvatron absorbs it and grows mad with power and destroys his own base. Scuba, who's the octopus or the squid, he uses the quartz's power to repair the environmental damage caused by the Predacons. Megastorm, which is basically G2 Megatron, gloats to himself that with the power of the quartz, he will finally overcome Galvatron, only for his brother to steal the quartz right from under his nose. Cheetor, having the quartz to become the most powerful of all Maximals, he's promoted to Supreme Commander. However, he can't handle the responsibility required for the post, and he runs away after only 3 days. Gildart, which is a rhinoceros character, decides not to use the quartz right away, believing there's still a long line before the war ends, and keeps it around as a trump card. And then Primal uses it to defeat the Predacons once and for all. Megatron takes the quartz and sets out to defeat his eternal nemesis, Optimus Primal. Star Upper is a weird character, almost looks like a wallaby or something. Like, I'm not exactly sure, but he wants to become strong under his own power, doesn't use it for anything. Artemis doesn't realize it, and this is like the humanoid one that turns into like the bunny or whatever. Finds it pretty and takes it home to decorate. So it's kind of dumb, but yeah, it was an entertaining game. You could play as like other characters, like they had a Starscream, in it. And, they had, a DJ who was basically Cicada Khan from the Tripredicus toy. Ickard, which is again, another of the Tripredicus, characters. And then they had Starscream, who was he was like the Hellscream or BB character in the other Beast Wars, Beast Wars 2 continuity. And then you had a couple other characters, but overall I enjoyed it because it was just a goofy, like, side scrolling beat 'em up, almost like a Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And you could transform and you could shoot them. And yeah, it was entertaining in its own right, but it had a very short lifespan.
Cool.
And then, so that one, I genuinely enjoyed that just because it was just something fun to play for, you know, oh, I've got 15, 20 minutes to kill. Like, let's play this. And then there was Transformers Legends. I mostly liked it because the artwork that came out of it, but it was a multiplayer card-based battle game that came out for mobile.
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, kind of all I liked it for was the artwork. Like, it was kind of like, it was one of those games I just didn't really care.
Yeah.
And it didn't last very long. Like, they shut it down 2 years after kicking things off with it. Like, less than, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like they do that a lot, though.
I feel like this is a mistake to make online games for Transformers. Like, they need to just have offline. Because even War for Cybertron, Fall of Cybertron had an online component.
It did. Did anybody use it? I don't remember anyone talking about it.
I did, but that was because I was like, I just want to see how it works.
Yeah.
The War for Cybertron one kind of sucked, and then the Fall of Cybertron one was better. Mm-hmm. Now, I could be mistaken. Like, it may have been the same game, and I'm misremembering it, but But yeah, it was just kind of meh.
Yeah.
And then I played Forge to Fight, which had like the Universe Collision, you know, G1, Bayformer, Beast War, you know, all of them running together. It wasn't very good, but it wasn't bad either. It came out in 2017. It was on Android and iOS. The game originally shut down in 2023. And then a new version of the game was announced and relaunched exclusively for Netflix subscribers like 4 months later. And then the new version removed all in-app purchases and ads, as well as characters from the live-action film series, while adding new characters not present in the original release. So I forgot about that, so I might actually have to try and play that again, but I don't remember really enjoying it.
Yeah.
It was interesting, and I wanted like the Beast characters, but ultimately, like, I didn't love it.
Yeah, this game was weird. Very weird.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was kind of a mixture of everything. And then, I mean, I have Eternal War on there. On my list is like a want to play, but there's not like enough. There's no information really on it.
Is that the newest one? Yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the newest one it's out in like a beta, but it's on the other side of the world. It's not here.
Gotcha.
It interests me enough that when it does come here, I want to check it out. I have played Earth Wars since it came out in 2016.
Right.
And it's passed through multiple studios. It was like with a couple of different studios to begin with, and then it's changed and changed again, I guess, in 2025 to another studio. And yeah, it's still going since 2016. I think it's the longest running online Transformers game. But it covers different generations. You get your G1s, you get your Unicron Trilogy, your Beast Era, your Shattered Glass, your G.I. Joe, your Transformers Prime.
Nice.
I've gotten quite a bit with it. What I don't love about it is it's very microtransactional.
Yep.
So it makes it almost impossible to play, but they've got a huge lineup of characters. I mean, you've got every rendition. You've got Optimus Primal, you got Optimal Optimus, you got Transmetals, Transmetal 2s, Transmetal chips that you can add to people. You get mini cons, mini cassettes. Like Rat Trap is kind of one of those minis. You get combiners. You get the Titans. You get, you know, all different kind of combat characters that are in it. It was a lot of fun. I got tired of the microtransactional thing.
Yeah, that can be tiring after a while.
So I just ultimately stopped playing, and it takes forever to build a base. Like, forever. Especially trying to defend it and build it up. So, like, that was the other thing that I just kind of was like, I don't care anymore. Like, I dumped a little bit of money into it originally when it came out, because I was like, I want this character and I want this one. And then when I got him, I was like, why did I do that? It kind of sucks. I did enjoy this one for the longest time. So this is like kind of the last one that I had as my, you know, enjoyed, because I did enjoy it for a time. I don't enjoy it anymore. More so because I stopped playing it. I think it just got kind of bland. But it is the longest living video game in the history of the Transformers brand. Yeah. So I gotta give it kudos for that. It does work. It does seem to keep people involved. So, but yeah, that's kind of my lineup of the Transformers games. Like, I wish we could get some updates of some old ones, but or PC access to them.
Yeah. I would love for some, like, that's why I love the War and Fall for Cybertron games, is that even though they were dark and gritty games, they were G1 accurate to the point of, hey, this is kind of like the G1 cartoon, but in video game form. Even though the story wasn't a G1 episode kind of thing, it was very G1 feeling. I would love to see that, like, I wish they would have worked more with High Moon Studios, because those people that worked on those games were amazing. Can you imagine a High Moon Studios Beast Wars or Beast Machine game? That would be awesome. That would be great. I don't know what studio nowadays Hasbro would work with to make a game like that. And yeah, you have many different markets for gaming now, where it's like arcade or mobile or console or this or that. And yes, console and PC can basically be interchangeable now, because you can have the game on all of it. But man, I would kill for a Transformers game series where basically Transformers Generations, you start at G1, you release a fully faithful game to G1. It doesn't have to be retelling the G1 story, but the designs have to be fully G1. And then you go to Beast Wars, Beast Machines, animated, whatever else you want to do. But it could just be a series, you know, it could be Transformers Generations, and you can just do all the franchises within that one thing and have really awesome looking, show accurate, whatever toy, whatever you want to say, you know. But I don't think they're going to do that. I don't know what they're going to do, because as much as Chris Cox says, I'm a gamer, I want the games, I want this, no more toys, we got to get the kids focused on the games and the whatever, because he's got whatever background in gaming. I don't know, man. But what we have to this point in Transformers games, some of it is absolutely amazing, awesome, and fun. And we're going to continue to look for more fun in Transformers gaming.
Yeah, and I hope that with time anyway,
yep,
we get kind of the whole gamut of options of some good stuff in the vein of what High Moon was putting out.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice. Just saying.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It would be amazing. That's why I said, you know, something similar to that design, or something similar to basically look at the G1 cartoon or look at Beast Wars and make it video game style and kind of thing. I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
But no, man. It's always so fun looking at this part of the Transformers brand, because I don't like every Transformers fan I've talked to in the last 17 years or 16 years or however the hell long it's been since we've been doing this. Not a lot of them talk about the video games with us. We barely bring up the video games.
Oh, no. Yeah, we really don't.
I mean, it's a niche area of the fandom. And I'm sure there are. I'm not saying there aren't Transformers gamers out there. I'm sure there absolutely are. Like I said, when that Angry Birds game came out, I went nuts for it, because it was Transformers, Angry Birds, and whatever. But it's one of those things where I think if Hasbro did do something really, really well done to the point of getting every part of the fandom in on it, it would be awesome. And it would bring a lot of us together, and it would get a lot of us talking. But I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, you would think with his gaming background or interest, mm-hmm, that he would get like another High Moon.
Something. There's is it Hazelight? Okay, so there's a studio. I think it's called Hazelight. I could be wrong. They're doing very interesting things with games, but they're doing unique and original games. They did the It Takes Two game. They did the Split Fiction game. Split Fiction is about these two authors or these two writers who are trying to write for this game company or something. Or I forget what the whole thing is. But the point of it is he's the corporate guy, the supposed villain of the game, has this machine that's stealing everybody's ideas kind of thing, and the machine's getting overloaded and whatever else. And part of the game, I've never seen this in gaming. It's a split screen, but it crosses over in one of the end levels as you're playing the game. So the two characters basically envelope each other in the environment. It's so friggin' cool. I don't think Hazel Light is going to do anything with Transformers. I think they're going to do their own thing and keep making their own specific games. But we need a studio like them to do something with the Transform. We need Hasbro to have something like that in their pocket to do something with a Transformers game. I don't know.
No, I agree with you. I would love to see kind of revisiting to the franchise.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Like, and having good games, like not. Yeah. And I'm saying that subjectively. I want kind of like the third person running around the map.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's
when we had the fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind first. Like okay, so here's what you need to do, folks. Basically, you take the mechanics of Metal Gear Solid, and apply it to Transformers. So like you're saying, third person walk around type stuff, but at one point or another, you can have a first person view from a certain button press or whatever kind of thing. That would be cool. I don't know. We need something in the video game thing for Transformers, folks, and something that isn't always microtransactional, because that gets old after a while.
Yep. So I think that wraps this episode up.
Yeah, pretty much. The games that are out there, the games that we've played, for the most part, we've had fun with them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, so there are games we would go back and play. So, you know.
There is that.
Absolutely.
So thank you, everyone, as always, for listening to All Things Transformers. I've been your host, Steve Megatron, with TFG1 Mike. You can, of course, interact with us on the following ways. You can comment on the website, geekcastradio.com. You can send us a message on the social medias. You can either tag myself on the Twitters at SCP21 or yourself, sir.
I am at TF2 and Mike. And before I forget, we do have feedback.
Yes, we do.
I forgot we had that. So really briefly, this is from... DL Lorenzo. He says, just wanted to say thanks to All Things Transformers team. I've been listening over the last few months and really enjoy the content. I'm not an avid collector of the Transformers figures, and I may get one or two depending on the, how does that say, rule of cool. So it's awesome listening to your advice on figures and models. I listened to one where it is overloaded in the toys and the specific codes in which lost me. Currently a regular player on Transformers Earth Wars. There you go. Video games, folks.
See, and Earth Wars is addicting. Like, I did play it for the longest time.
Yeah, you did. I remember you were playing it a few times when we started a couple of the news episodes. I'm like, stop playing the game. Put the game down.
Yeah, I was doing that or playing Star Trek Online.
Uh-huh. Coming up to a year and painting up these Transformers miniatures for a take on a Transformers tabletop game that he's doing. And then he says, 4,000 episodes and going. You should be proud. And here's one listener in the UK who enjoys the shows. Till all are one. Thank you so much, DL Lorenzo. Thank you for listening.
Thank you
for writing in.
Yeah, it's always great to get feedback, and thanks for listening. We're glad that we can provide you some awesomeness in the world of Transformers, and maybe this gave you some inspiration for some older Transformers games to visit.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, as always, until next time, transform and transcend.
Yeah.